1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Darrell Springfield played professional basketball and in the college ranks for 15 years. Played in Greece, coached collegiately, and coached professionally. He's written a book called 100 Yards of Grapevine, The Disgrace of the NBA, and he joins us. And your premise and your argument, and first of all, thank you for joining us, sir.
It's my pleasure to be on your program to talk about this.
Your premise is that the NBA, the National Basketball Association, is no longer a viable entity for African American men, or as a sport.
No, I think that basketball is still a very viable entertainment commodity. I'm saying that African American men have used up their time in the NBA. I don't think that it's useful for us any longer to be playing a game that makes us look like clowns and forces us to act like clowns. However well it may compensate us. And this was a conclusion that I came to after 15 years in the game.
Tell me when this first this conclusion struck you. I mean, this is you were advising, and if I read your book correctly, that black men should no longer consider basketball to be a viable option. And I could ask you the question, well, why not football? Why not baseball?
Well, basketball is a game that I understand. Basketball is a game that I played for 15 years. But I can give you the long answer, the short answer. I don't know which one you want.
Give me the in-between answer.
All right. Well, the in-between answer is that I was scouting ahead, and in my professional career, I was scouting for Clubomania, which is an Athens club in Greece. And I traveled to a city to scout an opposing team. And I had heard at that time a spectator, as a lot of spectators will, yell down that old joke, you know, if it wasn't for the NBA, y'all be 7-foot janitors.
Right.
And we got into it with him. A number of the players went up into the stands. It turned out to be quite a Donnybrook, as they say. But I came back to the States after the season ended, and I was thinking long about that. And I turned the television set on, and I looked at a game that was being played, and I suddenly saw black men playing this game of basketball, going up and down the court, wearing baggy pants, wearing baggy shirts, wearing oversized shoes. And it suddenly struck me, as clear as anything had ever struck me, that we were reduced now to being performing clowns. We look like clowns in a circus. If you have ever been over to the circus, you've seen clowns with a big shoe, they wear baggy pants, and they're playing in the middle of the ring, coming out in a little car. And I saw brave and proud young black men bouncing a ball up and down in baggy pants. And I suddenly was struck by the realization that we had been forced into the role of a well-played clown, a well-paid clown, but a clown nonetheless. We look like clowns. We color our hair like a Ringling Brother clown. We put nose rings in, put tattoos on. Pants are all hanging down around our knees, shirts out, shoes big, ball going up and down. And I remember as a little boy thinking, I don't want to be a Harlem Globetrotter because that's not real basketball. But as I sat and watched this game, and this is an NBA game I was watching, I said, there's no difference between what I'm seeing here and what the Harlem Globetrotters done, which is just five oversized clowns in striped pants doing funny things with a basketball on an elastic band. And that's when I decided that I would write this book and tell my story.
In the book, you talk, Darrell, about playing college ball. You played for Jim Mumphrey, one of the great college coaches.
That's correct.
You went on to play professionally in Europe. You went on to coach. And you were very proud of this game.
I was very proud to be associated with basketball. But through it all, you're playing in Europe, and you don't experience in Europe the same level of fan mean-spiritedness as you do in the United States. So I come back to the States, and I heard the 7-foot janitor joke and that's what got me going. I come back to the States and I looked at this clown, the clown image, and I was still playing when they introduced the baggy gear, and I said, I don't want to put on, you know, I come from the day when...
Well, I remember, what were you talking about, the 70s and 80s when they wore little short pants? What if it's just a matter of what they're wearing?
Well, it's not a matter of what they're wearing, but just even the little short pants with the high knee socks that look effeminate. So either you look like a clown or you look effeminate with your big socks and your tight little skimpy shorts. And so my recommendation in my book and my recommendation when I speak to youth groups, when I speak to men's clubs, is that the African-American male no longer consider professional basketball as a viable alternative.
All right, now I'll give our number out. I'm going to ask you, why not football, why not baseball, why not hockey, all these other sports. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Darnell Springfield, former professional basketball player and college player, who believes the NBA represents nothing more than a circus and that African-Americans are performing clowns in that circus. Why not football? Isn't that also a circus?
Football endeavors, I think, to treat you like a man. I think they endeavor to present a sport that at least gives a presentation, a viable presentation of athletic skill that is a good demonstration of manhood. I think the same of baseball. It's only in the game of basketball that I think our people are required, literally, by the powers that be in the NBA to go out on the floor night after night as if we're introducing a high wire act, as if we're the entertainment between the lion tamer and the trapeze artist. And I can think of Allen Iverson, Kobe Bryant, all these young men who are so proud. And yet I look at them on the floor playing the game they're playing. And I just think, I wrote a letter to L.A. Lakers. I said, why don't you play calliope music while they're going up and down the floor? And I don't know if you've ever heard calliope music, Mr. Henry, but...
Yeah, it's the circus music.
Well, it's kind of organ music. It goes do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. They ought to play that while a proud black man in his baggy shorts goes up and down the floor.
What about the white players that play?
White players in the NBA are such a small minority, it doesn't really matter. You could turn the game over to white players tomorrow, and you're not going to have the same game. I think the only way to have an impact on the lives of proud young black men is to say, you can't play professional basketball anymore. You can't go into a game that is encouraging you to look like some kind of a Bozo the Clown, to go out there like Chucko and spin a little carousel on your head and wait for the next cartoon. And I've said to youth groups, and I've said to all the young men's groups I talk to, and also basketball teams that I talk to coaches about this. I talk to coaches at all black universities about this. And I said, why would you encourage your young men to go into this game? And, of course, they look at you kind of, they don't know what you're talking about. Because most black educators and most black coaches are not approaching this yet on this evolved scale.
Isn't this a perception thing, though?
Well, there's this old saying.
I mean, we look like a clown. If you don't feel like a clown, if you are proud of what you do.
Well, I think I could have said the same thing to the slaves before the Civil War. Aren't you happy with what you are, what your life is? And they probably would have answered me, yeah, I'm fine, because that's all they know, you know. It just took one man to say, this is wrong. I shouldn't be here sitting in a mud hut and going up to the house and serving up waffles and then come back here and pitch cotton. I'd rather be out there driving a new Corvette or whatever they had back then, you know. Why am I up here in the house putting on a Mr. Bojangles costume, tap dancing with a curly-haired girl, and then I go out in the field, pitch a little cotton? I'd rather be out there wearing sunglasses, hanging with Johnny Depp and all that. Instead, they had me in a Mr. Bojangles costume. And I had said to Mr. Buss, who was the owner of the L.A. Lakers, I said, why don't you just put all your players in a Bojangles tuxedo? And you'd be saying it just as loud and just as clear.
What did he say to that?
Oh, he looked all shocked. You know, Jerry Buss is one of these men. He's a very good man, and he treats his players very well. And I don't believe this is a man who sees the color of a man's skin. But still, we all got to swim in the same water, and he represents the same power structure. And I said, once you put Kobe Bryant and a pair of spats and a Bojangle and a Bojangle costume, and he thinks that I'm being insulting to him. So this is a slow education process.
1-800-449-8686. Marcus, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what's your angle, man. I can't understand how you're calling them circus.
Well, look, brother, what I'm trying to say is you wearing all that baggy gear. Have you ever been in a circus?
Yes, I have.
You've seen the clowns in a circus come right out in their big shoes and their baggy pants. The National Basketball Association says to a young black man like yourself, you know, it's better you try to go into basketball because you're not going to be a doctor. You're not going to be a lawyer. Once you dribble a ball, and while you dribble that ball, may we introduce you to your new costume, your baggy pants, your big baggy shirt, your oversized shoes, your funny-looking hairdo, and you can come out and be the clown for the night.
Yeah, but you know what's crazy? I don't look up the clowns. I do look up the basketball players, and I see the things that they do on and off of the basketball court. Take, Lonzo Mourning with his charities.
Well, that's true.
The things that Shaquille O'Neal brings to Miami with his, as soon as he got here, he brought all the toys to Overtown, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. But what I'm saying is this. Look, Shaquille O'Neal's a good man. But even he don't know that at the end of the day, hey, look, there are a lot of good clowns, you know, a lot of good men put on that grease paint of clowns, but they're still clowns.
So even though Shaquille O'Neal is a good man, he's still a clown.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being a clown. But I'm trying to say there's more to life than putting on big fat shoes and a big rubber nose. Are you interested in playing basketball, son?
Actually, no.
All right. Because you don't want to know why. You don't want to put on a big rubber nose and a fright wig.
Actually, I mean, if I had the height or even the size to do it, then that's what I would probably be doing. I would love it.
But you see, so I know you love the game, but if you were to go into basketball, you might as well put on a big rubber nose that makes a car horn sound and a bozo fright wig, because that's what they're going to want you to do. Now, I'd say to you, you're better off going into something that, you know, is going to make use of your intellect and make use of your education. And, you know, would you like to go out on the floor and wave to the fans and then squeeze your nose and hear that? Do you want to hear that? No, you don't. But every night, Shaquille O'Neal do that. Every night, Kobe Bryant go out, he do that.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the... Have you ever talked to the players about this?
I talk to young black players all the time about this. And they're all, well, you know, I don't know what you talk... They think they look cool. You know, they think they look good. You know, I got my baggy gear. I'm like, you look like a... you look like something just rolled out of a tiny little car.
All right, Marcus, thank you for your call, sir. 1-800-449-8686. It's an interesting message being delivered here tonight by Darrell Springfield. Mr. Springfield is a former professional basketball player, college basketball player. He's written a book called 100 Yards of Grapevine, The Disgrace of the NBA. He says that today's baggy gear, the baggy pants, the baggy shorts, the baggy shirts that the NBA players wear is in keeping with what they are, truly, clowns. And that the black players should no longer opt for a career in what he calls the circus of the NBA. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
In your book, and I'm talking with Dorrell Springfield about the NBA being just a huge circus, and that today's African-American athlete is nothing more than a clown. He dresses like a clown, and he's treated like a well-paid clown, but a clown nonetheless. In your book, you talk about the first bozo. There's a whole chapter called The First Bozo. Who is that?
My opinion, the first bozo was Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman was that individual, I think, who finally, and I thank Dennis for it. If you're listening tonight, I don't know, but I thank you, Dennis, wherever you are, for finally very clearly identifying what the NBA is to the African-American man. It's an employment service for freak clown, what I call an eight-foot freak clown. You go to Ringling Brothers or Cirque du Soleil. I don't know if you've been to Las Vegas, Mr. Henry, seen Cirque du Soleil.
Yes, I have.
All right, they got all kinds of clowns in that circus, but, man, they ain't got nothing. The NBA got, NBA got eight-foot-high clown. So I called Dennis Rodman Bozo One. And you can take your pick on who Bozo Two is, but Dennis Rodman's the one who finally said, you know what? I'm a clown.
The baggy gear.
Baggy gear, purple hair, stupid-looking tattoos. Asinine behavior. And I think what, on that day that Dennis Rodman set foot on an NBA court, he identified the profession for what it was. A lot of guys getting out of a small car in big shoes, twirling umbrellas, bumping into each other, squeezing each other's noses. Clown. You know who Clarabella Clown was?
That was on the Howdy Doody show.
Right. I found Bozo. I'm looking for Clarabelle.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Alan. Alan, hello. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doral Springfield. Alan?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
This guy is jealous about this guy was playing because maybe he can't be in the NBA anymore. Probably he's too old to play.
Why would I be jealous? I don't want to be a circus clown.
You're looking at these guys playing. This guy, the fans, looking at these guys, and you feel jealous because you're not inside the ring. That's why you say they is a clown.
That's an easy way to say that, but I'm just saying to you that when you look at Shaquille O'Neal.
What's wrong with Shaquille O'Neal?
The guy
he's a
is
sperm man.
He's an 8-foot Bozo.
You don't choose anybody by the pants. Their shoes. They have to wear big shoes because their feet is big.
Well, but
so
what I'm saying is this. If you look at Shaquille O'Neal, he's got a striking. There used to be a guy named Ernie Cookie Brown. Now, Ernie
yes.
Cookie Brown was one of the great clowns of all time.
Just because you're not there doing that. You like to be there inside and playing.
Are you trying to tell me I want
to
be
there? You like to be there. Just because you're not there, that's why you're talking about this.
No, I'm trying to
that's
protect.
That's why you're talking that.
I'm trying to protect young black men from not having
to
go out there and have their noses.
That is not protecting. These guys making them money.
They're helping
their family. They're helping a lot of people.
Have you ever heard of Otto Griebling? Emma
okay.
Kelly?
You're
Ernie Cookie
you're,
Brown?
You're at a
Clarabelle,
look
Chuckle,
at these guys
Bozo.
In the street, walking up and down in the street,
yeah.
in gangs.
No, I don't want them to
something,
be gay.
They're earning their money.
Well, look, what you're saying is it's better for a man to be out there with his nose sounding like a car horn than be in a street gang. And I agree
just
with you. I agree with you.
You're saying that just because you're jealous, you're not there, your time is past.
You know,
you're not playing anymore.
Maybe you're jealous because you keep
hitting that
horn.
That's why you went
horn.
And played to Europe because they didn't want you in the NBA because you don't good for nothing. That's why.
Well, you're just mad because they don't have no Cuban
Europe
player.
Play.
You angry because they got no Mexican players. That's your
no.
anger.
You went to Europe because they didn't want you here.
I played
in America.
In Greece. Hey,
that's why you're jealous.
Guess who else played in Europe?
You don't have no jersey in no court, in no stadium.
No, I don't have no clown suit. You're right.
Yes,
I don't have a clown suit.
Because you don't good for nothing in the United States.
Well,
that's why you go to Europe and play.
You're telling me that I'm not qualified to be Otto Griebling or Ernie Cookie Brown.
That's why you're talking now.
Well, okay. But I would like to comment, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
If you look at the size of Bozo's shoe, you're just a
that's
bitch.
Why
Bozo
you
and Shaquille wear the same size shoe.
Make a book,
all right, look.
Same like Canseco.
You are angry, sir, because
you,
Bozo
you
and Shaquille wear the same size
money,
shoe.
You
all
didn't right. get playing basketball. Same like Canseco.
Why don't you go bread some ham or something?
You're
man?
Making a book to get money
all
because
right.
you didn't play good.
Yeah, well,
you
I
didn't
heard
earn
you
the money
that.
Playing
I,
basketball
I
because
you
was
that.
A third-class player.
I heard you say that the first time, sir. And
you was a
you keep
third-class
saying the same
player.
Thing. But if you want Shaquille O'Neal to wear Bozo shoes, then I suggest that you send away for some of his secret Dakota ring equipment.
All right, thank you very much for your call, sir. 1-800-449-8686. We got to. That man says you're jealous.
You're kidding. Is that what he said? I mean, I heard him saying that for like 5 minutes. Yeah, he says I'm jealous. I suppose I'm jealous. I'll be honest with you, Mr. Henry. I guess I am. Any man be jealous of that kind of money. But I'm not trying to say a man doesn't have a right to earn a living. Black folks have been told for the last 150 years, you're making a good living, so why should you complain? You're making a good living, so why should you complain? I'm saying fine. You want to put on Clarabella clown costume? I love you.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
You had a point in your book here about the Clown Hall of Fame. I'm talking with Darrell Springfield, a former professional basketball player, and you're saying that the NBA treats players, makes them dress like clowns with the big pants, the big shoes, and you made a point about the Clown Hall of Fame?
The Clown Hall of Fame, Mr. Henry, is located in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The Clown Hall of Fame has in it famous clown. And I had written him a letter, and I'd written a letter to the Miami Heat saying that Shaquille O'Neal, when he retired, should be nominated for the Clown Hall of Fame. Now, people got upset with me. But I said, Bozo and Shaq, they wear the same size shoe. Their pants fit about as good. The shirt fits about as good. And I'm going to read you something else here. This is from a clown. And this clown was named Felix Adler. Now, Felix Adler grew up in Clinton, Iowa. Now, he was a famous clown. And he in the Clown Hall of Fame. Now, don't you think it's interesting that Felix Adler wore, as part of his costume, a jewel in his nose? And he wore a little tiny hat. Now, you see a lot of these young men, they got a jewel, big ruby, sticking out of their nose, just like that clown Dennis Rodman. So what do you think as a young black man, when you got something in common with one of the greatest clowns in the world who worked for Ringling Brothers, Barnum & Bailey Circus, he had a jewel in his nose, and you running up and down the floor in your big Bozo shoes, and you got a damn jewel in your nose, too. Now, that man... There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of rejection of what I'm saying. I understand that.
And well, for anybody to admit you're right, Mr. Springfield, I'm a clown, is quite a reckoning, isn't it?
Yeah, you got to look at yourself long and hard and say, you look in the mirror with your big baggy pants and a ball under your arm, and you got to say, you know what? I remember what my grandma used to look at Red Skelton on TV. And I'll be the baby Jesus sucked under a train if I don't look just like him.
1-800-449-8686. Bruce, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Mr. Springfield, I have two questions for you. The first is, have you considered the fact that a lot of NBA players have incredible agility and height and speed, and that unique set of talents is not something that most professionals...
Clowns do the same thing.
Okay, all right,
Clowns have balance, clowns have gymnastic skill, clowns are able to tumble and roll. Many clowns have the same ability as stuntmen.
Okay, so you're saying that there's just as many clowns out there as there are NBA players with those same talents. Is that your position?
I'm just telling you, what difference does it make whether you can fall, whether you can roll around in the middle of a sawdust ring or bounce a ball up and down?
Okay, well,
what difference does it make?
You know, let me ask you this, sir.
You got a lot of questions. You got to listen to answers.
Okay, this is my last question. This is my last question.
You got to listen to answers, see?
Okay.
Does Shaquille O'Neal wear the same size shoe as Bozo the Clown?
Okay, they wear the same shoe. All right.
But they wear the same size shoe, yeah.
All right. Well, but Shaquille O'Neal is also 7'1" tall. He's a big man. And
I don't know. I don't know if you trying to make a point or anything. Are you black?
Okay,
are you black?
Point.
Are you black?
This is my point.
Are
yes,
you black?
I am.
You are black.
Yes, I am.
All right. Are you playing basketball right now?
No, no. I'm a
All
professional.
Right. You professional what?
I'm a lawyer.
You just pulled out. You're a lawyer. You just kind of came up with that one, didn't you?
No, I am.
Really?
But let me ask you this.
What kind of law do you practice?
I do intellectual property.
You do a what?
Let the guy ask his question.
Copyright, trademark, trade secrets, patent, these types of things.
All right, so you got a life. You got a career that's a viable, wonderful career for a young man. And you avoided going out there wearing your clown suit.
Sure, but
you're a young black
man
that avoided the clown suit. That's what I'm trying to
Mr. Springfield, there are 35,000 African-American attorneys in the United States today. Did you know that?
There are a lot of lawyers. You're right about that.
There are 35,000 African-American attorneys right now.
There are a lot of doctors, too.
Okay, do you know how many NBA basketball players there are?
How many clowns do you think there are? There are not a lot of clowns, either.
Okay.
There are not a lot of clowns, either. So, you know, you can say, well, there are not a lot of NBA players, and there's two reasons for that. Number one, you're right, it's a great set of skills. Number two, we don't have a great need for NBA players, now do we? So we've got a few of them that can run up and down the floor like Bozo the Clown or Hobo Kelly, all that, with a ring in the nose, and we pay them a lot of money because entertainment pay well. But at the end of the day, they're just another monkey on grapevine. That's why I called my book.
Now, isn't that getting a little racial?
No, no. That's why I call the book 100 Yards of Grapevine.
Well, Mr. Springfield, let me ask you this last question.
You can do as many tricks on 100 Yards of Grapevine as a monkey can.
Let me ask you this last question, Mr. Springfield. I was talking to a good friend of mine who happened to be from Africa. I went to law school with him, and he was telling me that the business suit is the greatest cultural destroyer the world has ever seen. Because he was unable to wear his ethnic garb that his forefathers wore when he was negotiating his contract.
Wait. You're an American. What you do? You're talking to some man from just out of the jungle. I said you're an American. What you talking? You taking the word of some man just out of the jungle?
No, sir.
You wear a suit. You're an American man. You wear a suit. And that man there, he's used to wearing his dashiki. And going into the bazaar and buying himself a passel of chickens or whatever he does.
That's not true at all. He's actually a very wealthy gentleman from Nigeria. That's not accurate at all, Mrs. Springfield.
Well, they don't wear no business suit down there, but in America we do. And that's what gets it done here. Now, you don't wear no baggy pants when you walk into a courtroom. You don't wear clown shoes.
No, we don't here in this society,
right.
In this culture, we don't.
Right, except basketball player. Now, that guy I told you about, that Felix Adler, was a clown, and he wore a ring in his nose or something.
Yeah, you keep mentioning him. He had a jewel in his nose?
Right, he had a jewel in his nose. Now, what you see a lot of black men doing today? That clown did.
But, Mr. Springfield, there are actually NBA players as well who are also attorneys. The moment they retired from the NBA, they used that wealth. They built businesses. They went back to law school.
Well, why didn't
they sent their kids to school.
Well, all right.
It's an opportunity for them to accumulate great wealth.
Well,
they have a unique set of skills.
They could accumulate a lot of wealth by being a lawyer, a doctor, a diplomat, a business owner, an entrepreneur. You want me to live? Instead, I turn on the TV. I say to my son, hey, son, let's go watch Bozo today. And it turns out to be it's a Miami Heat. I'm getting tired of what I call the Bozo ethic among young black men. I want our young black men to stop emulating Bozo and start emulating Bob Worthright, one of the great black entrepreneurs. Quit looking like Hobo Kelly and start looking like Howard Hoffman, another great black entrepreneur. Quit dancing around like Felix Adler with a big Bozo nose and start talking like Felix Unger, a guy who was on The Odd Couple and cleaned everything up.
I know, yeah.
What you're saying makes sense, Mr. Springfield,
right.
But it is an opportunity for a lot of men to accumulate wealth, and they can get on with their lives once they're
older. If you see
a
young man going down the street with a ball under his arm and his baggy pants, why don't you just drive up to him in a little tiny car and go, get in, because we got an appointment at a sawdust ring down the street.
Thank you for your time,
Thank you very much, sir.
Look, Bev Bergeron was the first clown to twist a single balloon into a dog in 1959. You savvy? Now, you think that's me just honking a horn, but that's actually Shaquille O'Neal trying to pull his shirt on. Just doesn't quite hit, you know, it's not getting over his nose.
Great. I think we got the point, man. Yeah, David? I'm sorry, David, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. So, you all done with your clown bit?
Yes. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
How do you know Rosie O'Donnell hasn't eaten any children? Have you seen them lately?
One 800 449 8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Email from a gentleman by the name of R. Fox. I walk my dog each night and flip my little headset radio throughout the walk to various AM stations just to see what I can get in. I happen to get 810 WGY. I'm not sure where that station broadcasts from, but I've never heard it or your show before. I only heard about 10 minutes, but have to laugh at how pathetic you and your show must be regularly just because of the few minutes I heard. This angry liberal was spouting off about smacking his kid. He blamed Bush. He called Iraq a war for oil. He even said his kid was autistic. How sad it must be for you to have to resort to talking to this kind of an individual who makes liberals look bad. I'm glad I don't live in an area where your sad show is heard. What a loser. By the way, I'll be writing again tomorrow night to tell you what I thought of tomorrow night's show. It's probably going to be just as bad. Thank you, R. Fox. I walk a really small dog, and I walk on tiptoes.
All right, you had to make the guy sound gay just because he's trying to make a point.
Talking to an angry liberal who is spouting off about smacking his kid... He blamed Bush, called Iraq war. How sad must you have to resort to this type of bullcrap to attempt to make liberals look bad? Oh, I get it. The guy's a liberal? Like, I'm not trying to make liberals look bad. It was Larry Grover was always a conservative, and it was getting boring him being a conservative, so I thought I'd make him a liberal. Never mind the fact it's a really good question. If you get right down to it, how come you're driving a car if you don't believe in a war for oil? But I don't want to get into any of that. Maria and Nick, my eldest son, and my wife went and saw Dennis Miller last night at the Civic Arts Plaza over here in Thousand Oaks, California. They said it was great, that he was wonderful. And I said, well, I tell you what, honey, because I knew that she was going to go over and see him. And I said, well, why don't you let me call over there to the show and I'll tell them to expect you. She said, oh, great. And maybe you can go backstage and meet Dennis or have Nick meet Dennis. She goes, oh, that's great. Why don't you do that? So I called over. And I left a message, and I got a message back from Kevin, who's a nice guy over there at the show, and he said, yeah, Phil, just, you know, have him go back there, and I'll contact him. And when they went backstage, someone said, who? And she said, this is Mr. Hendry's family. And the guy goes, I've never heard of you. So that was a lot of fun for them to not meet him. Last night there at the Civic Arts Plaza. So they enjoyed it, and, you know, he made the point last night. He said, yeah, you're right, 9/11 changed me, and you're right, I'm not the same guy, and a whole lot of you don't like Bush, and I know a lot. He said, what can I do? It's just who I am. And there's a lot of people like us. You're not supposed to say anything about it, that you changed, that somehow you were moved to become a little bit more one way as opposed to the other way. But that's exactly who and what I am, and there's a lot of other people like me, and I don't know. I wish I wasn't like that. I wish I could just kind of be critical of... I wish I could be like one of those guys that's critical of everything, of everybody, an equal opportunity kind of guy, so that on any given night I've got some segment of the audience in my corner. Like one night I could be anti-Bush, another night I'm anti-Democrats, one night I'm... But it doesn't work that way, which is one of the reasons why our show is not only, I think, is a great show, but it's also an uphill fight, because it just doesn't fall down into those definable categories for a lot of people where they find it easy to put it on a radio station or to market it or promote it. But fortunately, we got enough listeners where we keep on keeping on. Tonight, we were in, were we preempted tonight in Los Angeles? We were. Did the Lakers win? Well, okay, here's the final score. It was Philadelphia 300, the Lakers 4. All right, nice going! I know, I was listening to the pregame coming in, and I know that in Los Angeles they're playing the show back on a tape delay process, or a tape delay kind of a thing, so you'll be hearing what you're hearing right now. I'm already in bed. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we got Father James McQuarters. He's going to be making a return visit on our program to apologize for his statements last night with regard to mentally retarded people blurting things out in the middle of Mass while he's trying to deliver a sermon that he's, quote, been eating, sleeping, and crapping for the last 2 weeks, end quote. We're also going to have Herb Sewell back with us for his Michael Jackson update. Herb has become quite popular, and I don't really know why that is, but I get a lot of mail about Herb Sewell. Now, here's a guy that is a convicted child molester who is a registered sex offender and is now one of our reporters, and I'm getting fan mail for Herb from women. We're also going to have on our program Career Talk. And tonight we'll be interviewing a guy who is very, very unusual profession, very unusual profession. We'll let you know what that is, as well as a few other little tidbits. We'll be moving along through our email this evening. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. And by the way, speaking of Father McQuarters and the bit we did last night and even our bit tonight with Larry Grover, now all of a sudden I'm getting all the Tourette's material from everybody. Hey, Phil, check out this website. Guys say stuff. You know, here's a really funny website, man. There's a guy with Tourette's.com. So this dude's a comic. There's comedy now based upon this ailment. There's some dude who calls himself the Tourette's guy. And I'm sure he doesn't have it, but he acts as if he does. And that's his stand-up act. He goes out on stage and just blurts out the F word. Just walks around in a circle playing with, like, his belt and then blurts out poo-poo or something. And so anyway, he's got a website. Also, there's a guy who has a wonderful, just a wonderful stand-up act, and I say that euphemistically, based upon the fact that he has polio. So he comes out with the shrunken legs on crutches and just does gags there. So there's it's a whole world, folks. 1-800-449-8686. Email address is phs@philhendryshow.com, and our web address is www.philhendryshow.com. Coming back with Father James McQuarters, Herb Sewell, and a whole host of sickness on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Roasting marshmallows on the everlasting bonfire.